Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. I am your host, Tara Marie Segundo. Today, we're talking with Dr. Carol W. Berman. She's a clinical assistant professor of psychiatry at NYU Medical Center here in Manhattan. She's also in private practice. She's an author. She has two books in her field, and she has a forthcoming book coming out. It's a forthcoming, The Man Who Wasn't Really There, about her husband's journey into dementia. Her journey with him and his eventual death. And this book is really less about the medical aspects of dementia and more so about those of us left behind in the aftermath. That's a great word, Dr. Berman. It's the aftermath.
Yeah, right. The aftermath. That's right.
It's really the aftermath. Because, you know, when you go through something like this as a person or as a family, you feel kind of like the rug was just pulled out from under you and you have to sort of recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you have to sort of recalibrate. Nothing's normal. Nothing's normal. And you have to recalibrate several times. You have to recalibrate almost at each stage because the patient will go through different stages and you have to watch it and mentally and emotionally deal with it, but stay strong so you can keep caregiving.
That's right. It's extremely difficult. Extremely, probably the most difficult thing I ever did in my whole life.
Yes. But here's the thing about doing it. Don't you rest your head on the pillow at night knowing that you did the best you could.
Right, right. And I feel good about what I did. And
yeah.
If I hadn't done everything I did, I would not rest my head on the pillow so well. That's right.
Yeah. And that's what I tell people, because when my mom was dying, I left New York City on a one-way ticket, basically. I bought a one-way ticket, packed a bag, and just left. Mm-hmm. And I lived with them for 4 months until she died. And, I mean, my life kind of fell apart here, but it's like at the end of the day, I didn't care. It's like anything that I lost in New York, I knew I could regain, but I knew that I couldn't get back that time. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. Time spent with her.
Right. Now, did those in your family who couldn't cope and they just kind of bailed on you when everything was happening with your husband, did they come back around since his passing?
Well, yes, they did. My brother was very helpful when he was in hospice at the very end and dying. My brother and sister-in-law came to stay with me, and that was wonderful. And they went with me every day to the hospice. Because he lasted 2 weeks without food or water, which is like incredible. Nobody lasts that long, but he did because his body was in such good shape, but the brain was completely gone at that point.
Was he purposely denying food? Like, was he like in a coma and he said absolutely no feeding tubes? Is that what it was?
Yes, he was in a coma, and he had already signed those directives.
Okay.
At the beginning, and that's very important to get those directives from the person when their brain is still working to see what do they want.
Yes.
Do they want machines taking care of them, or do they want to just pass naturally?
Yes.
And, you know, we had signed all those papers. And don't get stuck without those papers because then you won't know what to do and you could feel guilty making decisions that the person would not want.
Right.
So he didn't want any of that stuff. So he was just in a coma without any tubes or anything, just being there, but he didn't want to pass, I guess. And then my brother came in and my sister-in-law came in. They stayed with me. That was great.
Yeah.
And then my husband's brother was a real cop-out because he, you know, was saying he was doing everything, but he was doing nothing.
Yeah. And he probably couldn't handle it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. See,
I think so. I
find the ones that cop out, really what it is they can't deal. They just can't see that.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But that was painful, not having his brother help. But then the brother at the funeral, when we were doing speeches at the end during the service, the brother said how wonderful he was and how he helped. And that was really...
Well, and he probably needs to believe that, to rest his head on the pillow.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Well, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you talk about, you know, one of the things you talk about in the 5 ways to emotionally stay on track, you say, make sure, this is you talking to other caregivers, make sure that your mood stays positive. How would you suggest, given the profound, you know, what's going on, how did you stay positive? How would you suggest we do?
Okay. Well, I think a person should keep going to work if they have work and they could have the nurse's aide at home. Because I think work is very important to keep your mind focused positively. Well, it helped me.
It's a nice distraction. It's a nice positive distraction.
And then I worked out. As I said, I did yoga. I did meditation. And then also humor, which we haven't mentioned yet, which I have an article about.
Yes.
We tried to use humor, and my husband's sense of humor was actually working to the end, which was amazing. And what we did was we tried to watch comedies, and we tried to do different things to get our laughter and humor going.
Yes. And also, like I said, doing that with the patient, you never want to give an energy to the patient like you're a burden to me. Do you know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like with my mother, I was always really careful with the energy. I always worded things, you know, oh, mom and I are going to do this together. I never wanted my mother to feel any energy coming from me. You're a burden. I'm here taking care of you. It wasn't that. I wanted the energy to be, let's spend time together. We would watch, it's not even on anymore. You know, Craig Ferguson, the late show.
Yeah.
For some reason, my mother loved Craig Ferguson and she was always up late because, you know, your schedule can get thrown off when you're in this. Yeah. And so we would watch the Late Late Show. She just loved Craig Ferguson. So we would watch the Late Late Show. She wanted to watch Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
Like she wanted to watch Wheel of Fortune. I'm so sick. Wheel. I can't even watch that show. But, you know, so like you know, like I said, there are ways to interject enjoyment into an otherwise very miserable situation.
Absolutely. And you have to think of it in a way. It's an honor to take care of this person. I could almost cry when I say that, but
yes.
It's an honor to take care of a person who is so sick. And
yes.
You're able to do an honor for them. You're able to do the best thing that you could do is to take care of this person who is so ill and they can't take care of themselves.
Yes.
What an honor that you're given to take care of them.
Well, it's God's work. It's definitely God's work. And I strongly believe that taking care of your loved one through an illness like this is a gift to yourself.
Absolutely.
Because I'm telling you from firsthand experience, it is easier to rest your head on the pillow at night.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you, if there's anybody out there wondering, should they give up a part of their life? I would say yes. That's what I would say. Now, how would we tell if a loved one has dementia?
Right. Well, okay.
You wrote this great article. I will direct people to it. How to tell if a loved one has dementia. And you list 10 really clear-cut signs that may go missed if you're not looking. So the first is loss of words.
Loss of words, right. So especially my husband, who was a great talker and really knew how to use words. He was an attorney. He was losing words left and right. He couldn't talk. And he would say the wrong words because he just kept talking, and all of a sudden he would have losses where he can't remember these words.
Couldn't come up with a word that was on the tip of his tongue.
Exactly. And then he would lose trains of thought, like all of a sudden he'd be talking about something, blah, 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 and then, boom, he'd be off on something else. The trains of thought weren't connected anymore. And then, really sad, is he couldn't say the names of things, like a table, a computer, a book. Like simple things, he would say the thing. So imagine that you can't even remember what the word for. And worst of all is he failed to recognize other people and me at some point, which is really horrible. Because,
yeah,
like when he fails to recognize you, that is the worst. Because and one day we were walking down the street, I was wheeling his wheelchair because he started losing all physical functions. So mm-hmm. He had to go in a wheelchair. And we're walking down the street. He sees a woman with hair like mine. I have very distinctive hair for the audience. And he saw a woman with hair like mine, and he starts yelling my name. He said, Carol, Carol. He's yelling at this woman. And I'm saying to him, I'm right here. I'm right next to you. I'm behind you in the wheelchair.
Did he get it when you said, I'm here,
no.
I'm here?
No, he didn't get it. He didn't recognize me. He didn't see me. And it was very frightening for him because he thought he lost me. Because he couldn't recognize me anymore. So that was really horrible. Because then they're losing everybody around them.
Yeah.
They can't recognize the people.
Poor baby. I believe, and I'm just guessing this because I don't know, but like with my grandfather who had dementia, I believe that they can differentiate energy.
Maybe.
Because when I would, when my grandfather, when I would come in the room, he would act differently. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like his energy would shift.
Would he start smiling and everything?
He always kind of, it was funny, with my grandfather, to the very end, he couldn't recognize anybody, but he always knew me to the very end. I have to believe that has to do something with, like, energy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, again, it's really hard, because by that point, you know, when you're a grown man who was the head of a family and you're reduced to a nursing home and a diaper and a bib, that's a lot. You know, that's a lot for everybody to handle.
Oh, that's horrible for
Yeah.
them.
Yeah. Now, another one you mentioned for a loved one having dementia, a sign would be lack of planning ability. It's like they're losing that ability in their brain, executive function.
Executive function, exactly. So they wouldn't be able to plan anything, like what to do during the day, or even, you know, when to wash the dishes or anything.
Yes.
And also they have disinterest in learning new things. Like, you know, he was always interested in all kinds of things. He would take extra courses in his field, and he would like to learn about astronomy, and he loved to read new books and articles and things. And he had no interest. He was all of a sudden bored with everything, disinterested, because his brain couldn't take in this information and do anything with the information.
And maybe also partially, like subconsciously, he knew that something wasn't right, and he knew he wouldn't be able to even if he tried.
Right, right. So then they become disinterested, which you say, wow, this person was always so interested, but now they're not interested in anything.
Yeah.
And then they can't abstract anything. They have what we call concrete thinking. So let's say you have the proverb, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that that means you shouldn't criticize anybody if you yourself are vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's the abstract thing. But when you have dementia or when you have concrete thinking, you'll think, well, it's a glass house and somebody throws a stone and a stone is going to break the glass.
Right. It's almost like a childlike way of thinking. Children think in very literal ways.
Right. And schizophrenic patients also will think in very literal, concrete
yeah.
ways like this. But usually most of us are able to abstract.
And you also say another one is inability to carry out chores, like you can't do simple little chores that you used to do, or even get yourself dressed necessarily.
Yeah, they can't dress themselves, right? They can't wash the dishes. They can't set the table. They can't, you know, go to the corner and get a newspaper or something. They can't do anything.
Now, do you have any final thoughts to offer? Because, again, this is about I want to give people the feeling that I don't want people to be hopeless. I don't want people to feel helpless. Do you have any final thoughts, you know, if this comes into someone's life, either for you or as someone that you love, would you say, you know, form like a support team? Would that be something, number one, form a support team early? Don't wait until you desperately need help.
Absolutely, and try to get as many friends and family members involved as you can. Actually, friends came to my rescue more than my family came, and a lot of friends were helping me and watching him at different times or, you know, doing different chores for me. I mean, the friends were nicer to me than some of the family members, but, you know, that's our family.
I wonder why that is.
Well, some families, maybe you're luckier in the Latino group to have more integrated families, but I think a lot of American families now are just, you know, all over the place, and they're not working together, getting together.
Yeah, in the Latino community, we do pretty much band together. I will
that's
say that.
Great.
Don't you guys agree? Yeah, and we pretty much band together.
That's great.
It's great, but it also concerns me because there's almost like we're almost like enmeshed to the point where I remember, like with my mother, I would feel guilty going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like I made myself go because I knew I needed to stay sane, but I felt guilty like leaving her. There's that guilt thing that don't you guys agree that there's the whole guilt, the Latino guilt thing? There is like a bit of a guilt thing, a codependent thing going on.
Yeah, well,
and
that could be worked on in therapy.
Yeah, therapy and, again, support groups. I love the idea of support groups because I love the idea of being able to say, this is what I'm feeling, and have somebody else say, yeah, you know what, me too.
Exactly. You feel so much better
yeah.
when people are sharing these things.
When you're suffering, just to hear anybody say, me too,
mm-hmm.
It is so much better. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming with us, and I want to give people all your information so that they can read these articles. You guys, this is Dr. Carol W. Berman. Again, she's here in New York City. If you're in or around New York City, she's in private practice. She's also a clinical assistant professor of psychiatry. Her website is carolwberman.com. That's CarolWBerman.com. Now, Carol, do they have to go to Huffington Post to get these articles, or do you have links on your site?
I have links on my site, okay. So they could read the articles on my site as well.
Okay, yeah, so carolwberman.com. Carol, it has been a sincere pleasure, and I insist that when that book comes out, I get the first copy.
Absolutely.
And I want it autographed, because I really think this is going to be an amazing book.
Well, thank you so much, Tara Marie. It's been a privilege to be on your show, and I hope it's been helpful to other people, too.
It has been. My producer came in and said it during the break. We appreciate it, and I thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
Okay. Have a good one.
Thank you, sweetie. Okay. All right, you guys, we're going to switch gears here, and we're actually going to spend the last 40 minutes or so of the show. I'm going to be taking your calls. I got a very, very interesting email late last week, and it was from a gal, and she has recently had a baby. I didn't get a lot of details out of her because I actually decided her questions were so remarkable, I actually decided I wanted her to call in. So I am actually going to, she's going to be calling in a little while here, and she's from Tampa, Florida, and we're going to talk about her getting her body back after baby. But let me give out the call in line in case you want to jump in and participate. It's 888-411-7242. That's 888-411-7242. We're going to be right back after this. Get ready to call with your questions. I'm Tara Marie Segundo. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. And, of course, you can also email me questions at Tara@TaraMarie.com, and I'll answer them. I'll try to answer them on an upcoming show. Okay, you guys stay with us. We will be right back.
Be proud, be loud on American Latino Radio.
Did you wake up this morning with sore knees, hands, or other sore joints? Don't go another day feeling this way. Join thousands of satisfied customers and try NovaJoint. Designed by a doctor to nourish and lubricate your joints, NovaJoint works fast without glucosamine, chondroitin, or any of the other ingredients that have disappointed people for years. Customers love NovaJoint because it works fast and it's so easy to take. Here's what a customer in New Mexico wrote. My knees felt great after a couple of weeks, and after a few months, I forgot they were ever sore. I would recommend this product to anyone with stiff, achy joints. NovaJoint really works. So don't wait another day. Go to NovaJoint.com and use the coupon code RADIO or call 855-657-7700. Don't wait to feel great. That's NovaJoint.com and love how you feel.
We'd like to welcome you to an entirely new programming concept, American Latino Radio. Programming by, for, and about American Latinos. Well, who is an American Latino? If you were born in the United States of Latino heritage, you are an American Latino. If you were born in Latin America but were brought here at an early age, you are probably an American Latino too. In the coming months, American Latino Radio will produce and offer a series of programs hosted by and created for listeners from the approximately 35 million American Latinos in the United States today. These programs focus on a wide range of subjects, including health and wellness, politics, entertainment, investment, house and home, sports, car repair, and so much more. We will be here on Sirius XM Channel 154 every day. Please join us on American Latino Radio and become part of the conversation at 1-888-411-7242 or visit us online at AmericanLatinoRadio.net. Tara Marie is live, and you can call her now, 1-888-411-7242. That number again for Tara Marie Live, 1-888-411-7242. Call now.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. So we're about 20 minutes into the second hour, and we've just let the guest go, and I'm going to be taking calls for the remainder of the hour here. I'm Tara Marie Segundo, and the call-in line is 888-411-7242. That's toll-free nationwide, 888-411-7242. I understand we do have our caller on the line. I do want to make one comment. Yesterday at the end of the show, if you were listening, I gave out some tips. I was talking about body composition. Kind of ran out of time at the end, and I just wanted to say that if you want to read more about body composition, I did write a short blog. If you go to my website, TaraMarie.com, TaraMarie.com, TaraMarie.com. On several places on the site, it's pretty obvious. You can go to the blog. Just click on the button to get to the blog. And the name of the blog is The Significance of Body Composition. The Significance of Body Composition. It's a simple little article, but it'll explain in easy terms why I care about your body composition, different ways that you can measure body composition. And at the end, I threw out some normal ranges for body composition, and those are in that blog. Normal ranges for females at different ages, normal ranges for males at different ages. And I also talk about essential body fat for both men and women. And essential body fat is something I want you to consider, because essential body fat is the fat that each of us, each gender needs on our, we each need it on our body to essentially function physiologically normally. If a woman goes much lower than what is considered essential body fat for a female, she could lose her period. Which is a problem, because once a woman stops menstruating, if you're a woman of menstruating age and you stop menstruating, you not only have stopped, you know, a biological process that should be going on, but also the minute you stop, you start to lose bone mass. When I was in graduate school, I looked at research studies where from severe dieting, we would see women in their 20s with bones like women in their 70s and 80s. All right. So it's a very serious thing. So, again, essential body fat I also list in this blog. Go to my site, TaraMarie.com, TaraMarie.com. Look for the blog. And again, it's called The Significance of Body Composition. While you're there, sign up for my mailing list. I also write a really good newsletter, and it's totally free. Okay. Now, one more quick announcement. You guys know that once a week on this program, I'm doing a consultation on the air. Those are for you. It's for the listeners. It's 100% free. You don't have to use your real name. I don't care about you using your real name. Really, what I care about is your story. Because I've always said, and I believe this, we are much more similar than we are different. And generally, when I'm telling a story, somebody out there is listening saying, aha, me too. I get that. I resonate with that. And the advice that I give to you might or likely will be helpful for many other people. If you want to do a consultation on the air, I'm doing them once a week, you can get to me a couple ways. You can either email me at Tara@TaraMarie.com. That's Tara@TaraMarie.com. Put consultation or case study in the subject line. And then in the body of the email, tell me your story and we'll get you booked. I'm now booking in February. You can also like my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/TaraMarieLive. And you can post on that page. And I post on the page every day too. That's a great way for me to stay in touch with you guys. Now, so late last week, I got this email from a listener, and it was such a good email. The questions were just kind of so universal. I actually emailed her back and I said, would you call the show? Because I did that for two reasons. I thought that you guys would enjoy hearing what's going on with her, because it's going to resonate with many of you. But also I did that because in her case, and this will make sense when I get her on, in her case, much of what she was asking is dependent on other factors. It's very hard for me to give standard information, not knowing anything about you. And that's why, like when David yesterday emailed me from Brownsville, Texas, and he wanted to know supplement amounts, I can tell you, you know, what the supplements do, and I know what I take. But again, your age, your stage of life, what other health things you have going on in your body at the time. All things have to factor in, and that's why I don't like to give such standardized information, especially like via email. So I wanted to bring this gal on to get more information. Her name is Alexandra. She's from Tampa, Florida, which is where most of my family resides. Are you on the line, Alexandra?
I'm here, Tara.
Hi, sweetie.
Good to talk to you.
It's very nice. I'm glad you emailed me. And like I said in my email, I wanted you to call because, so this is the story. So you said that you recently had a baby.
Yes.
And you're basically interested in getting back in shape after baby.
Correct.
Right. Now, this, I've worked with women, because I also work in New York one-on-one as a trainer. I've worked with women before they were pregnant, while they were pregnant, and then as soon as the baby was delivered, and then extended into, you know, as the baby grew. So I've been through women through all these stages. Let me ask you, what is your age?
I'm 34.
You're 34, and when did you deliver the baby?
I had my baby about 5 months ago, but then I also had another one 18 months ago. So it was a back-to-back.
You have Irish twins. Okay. Irish twins.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So you had a baby, say, 19 or 20 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and you had the first baby 18 months ago.
Correct.
Okay. So question. After the first baby, let's backtrack. After the first baby, were you ever able to get your body completely back before you were pregnant again? I'm assuming the answer to that question is no.
Weight-wise, I did, but fitness-wise, I was not. I never got as fit as I was before the first one.
And that's probably because you were busy with, you know, you were breastfeeding, you were taking care of a newborn baby. Are you a stay-at-home mom or do you work outside?
I stay at home.
Okay, so, you know, and I'm sure your GYN told you this, and I tell this to women, you're pregnant for 40 weeks. Generally speaking, I warn women, expect to take about 40 weeks to go back to your pre-pregnancy state. And I mean in every sense of the word, not just weight, but just for your body to just kind of go back to where it was. I mean, women, I think mainly men do this, but I think even some women who have never had a baby underestimate the level of trauma that growing a baby and delivering a baby does to your body. Wouldn't you agree?
100%.
It's hard. Now, were either of the babies C-sections?
They both were.
Both were C-sections. So you had a C-section 18 months ago, and then you had a C-section 20 weeks ago.
Yes.
Okay. And did you have any complications, or was everything pretty smooth sailing?
Smooth. Everything's good.
And during the pregnancy itself, everything smooth? Any complications?
No.
Okay, thank God. A lot of that has a lot to do with your age. You know, you're right on the cusp there where you know things it can start to get hard to get pregnant, but you're still young where you probably bounce back more easily than a woman, say, you know, in her 40s, which is what a lot of women are doing nowadays. Were you in shape, the kind of shape that you seek, prior to ever getting pregnant in the first place?
Was I in good shape? Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so backtracking before the first pregnancy, that's the kind of shape you're looking to regain.
Yeah, and even during my first pregnancy, while I was pregnant, I was working out, and I was probably in the best shape.
Got it.
During
okay.
that time.
The reason I ask this is this. Usually what women can hope for after pregnancy is to return to what they were. Or hopefully better, but at least what you were. So the fact that before the first child, you were in optimal shape and you were rocking it. You were like, this, I'm good. I'm all set. That's good news because it means that you've been there once. Your body can go back there more easily. It's harder for me. If you said to me, I just had my second baby. I've got an 18-month-old and a 20-week-old. I've really never been in good shape, but now I want to really get in good shape. It would be harder. Do you understand?
Right.
Yeah, it's easier to go back to where you were. So let's make getting back to your pre-pregnancy days your goal. Now, you indicated in your email that you're interested in jogging.
Yes.
Your doctors cleared you for that.
Yes.
Okay. Did you jog at any other time in your life before babies?
No. I didn't. I just figured it would be a good, easy cardio that I could roll out of bed in the morning, go do it, come back, and then, you know, take care of the kids.
Okay. What kind of cardio were you doing prior to pregnancies?
I was doing more videos at home. I mean, I had the video of the big ball, the balance ball.
The Swiss ball. Mm-hmm.
And I used to do Pilates. I have an actual aero Pilates machine that I would use and different things like that.
So those are things that you can incorporate. You're looking for a cardio, though. You're looking for a form of cardio that's going to do the job quickly. Do you still have some baby excess body fat?
Not a whole lot. I have a little, but not a whole lot.
And are
the untoned part of the whole effect of the pregnancy.
Say that again?
Just being not feeling very toned after the pregnancy.
You don't feel very toned. And are you breastfeeding?
Yes.
Okay, so you're breastfeeding, so you really can't diet too much.
No.
Right. Right. When you're breastfeeding, you want to take in about 1,800 calories a day minimum. And those nutrients need to be, you know, every bite that you take in really needs to be nutritious. Okay.
Right.
Let's talk about this running then. If you've never run before, but are you a heavy person? Do you think there's, because I'm thinking stress on your knees. That's where I'm going with this.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I think jogging, here's what I love about jogging. And you said you live in Tampa. Okay. So here's what I love about jogging. The cost of it is the cost of a pair of shoes. You could do it anywhere, even if you're traveling. So you don't have to have a break in the routine. It's a very effective way. When you're thinking about doing a cardiovascular activity, those that are weight bearing, like running, have a greater effect on fat loss than those, for instance, like cycling, where you're sitting on your bottom, right? So it's fast, it's efficient, it's fast. You don't need equipment. You can go out into your neighborhood and do it, or you could go to a park and do it. And also I like it because you can modulate it easily, meaning we can speed it up. Like if I say, okay, Alexandra, I want you to do some interval training. It's like you can easily modulate it. You can decide I can have you running in 30-second intervals, et cetera. This is what I'd like to have you do. Since you really don't have a history of running, let's test the waters first and make sure that it agrees with you. And, you know, start out with like, say, let's make like a 20-minute jog your goal. Now, if you are nursing, your boobies are probably quite large, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So what I want you to do is what I tell large-chested women to do. I want you to really, really get a great running bra, something that's almost like a binder bra.
Mm-hmm.
Really invest some money in some good running bras, because the ligaments that hold up the breast tissue, if you're jogging around and you're bouncing and your breasts are heavy because you're lactating, it's going to harm those ligaments and overstretch those ligaments, and then you're going to get saggy breasts. So first of all,
very good point.
So this is what I want you to think about. Great, great, great running bra. I mean, great. Like go into a store where they really know what they're doing and explain that you're nursing and that, you know, your breasts are heavy right now. So great running bra. You're going to want to get some great shoes. I would never skimp on the running shoes. And one of the questions that you actually asked me in the email was, what shoes should I get? The answer is a little bit complicated because it depends on who you are and the biomechanics of your running. What I mean by that is everybody's foot strikes the ground in a different way. Do you wear orthotics?
No.
Okay. Have you ever had foot issues where a podiatrist has said, hey, you know, Alexandra, you pronate, or, you know, you tend to have flat feet. Have you ever had any of those problems?
No.
Okay. Because here's what's going to happen. When you have foot issues, they will all come to the surface if you start to run, because running's hard on your feet. Have you spent years of your life in high heels? Like, have you banged up your feet a lot?
I used to wear them a lot. I don't wear them a whole lot anymore.
Okay, so what I would suggest you do is, number one, plan to invest in a good pair of running shoes, and keep in mind that running shoes have a shelf life. I've seen people's running shoes where they run in them and it's a year in and the shoes don't have any tread anymore. So running shoes is going to be one of the things that you don't want to skimp on. And it's an investment. Probably every 3 months, you're going to be cycling through a new pair of running shoes. I would suggest you do what I do. I go to a store in New York City where they have a computer situation. They can measure. I step on what seems like an iPad almost, and they can measure my foot, where the weight is in my foot. If you pronate, that means you tend to be more flat-footed. You tend to, your feet tend to kind of cave in toward the arch. If you supinate, that means that you tend to put more weight on sort of the outside ridge where the pinky is. So they need to determine, do you tend to pronate? Do you tend to supinate? What are the mechanics of your feet so that they can determine what shoe, if you don't wear an orthotic, is going to support you best? Because nowadays they make shoes. Some shoes are built up, and for people who pronate, who tend to have flat feet, the shoes themselves will provide more arch support. Some shoes are built for people who supinate, you know, who tend to put more weight on the outer ridge, the pinky ridge of the toe, of the foot. So you want to understand how you run. And the way they can do this is they can, like, I could probably tell if you were barefooted in front of me, just standing in front of me, if I got down on the floor and looked at you, because I would see your Achilles tendon, if it were straight up and down, or if it were sort of cocked toward your inward or outward. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
By the biomechanics of your heel, and I would determine it by looking at your Achilles tendon. They can determine if you need some sort of support. Maybe you don't need support. Maybe you're like me. I have an orthotic. I have an orthotic from a professional podiatrist. So see, I don't need support. What they do for me is they give me a neutral shoe. But do you understand? So the shoe that you wear is as specific as the biomechanics of your foot. That's why I don't want to just tell you the brand that I use. I use Brooks, but do you know what I'm saying? Like you want to go to one of those stores. Now, ironically, I know a store in Tampa. My family, I've been there before with my family. I think it's in the International Mall, maybe.
Okay. I'm familiar with
I think
that,
yeah. It's in the International Mall. Yeah, I've been there. I actually went there with my dad once because my dad lives in Tampa. And they will do a biomechanical analysis of your gait. All right.
Okay.
So we're going
to
start there. We're going to come back after this. And what I want to talk about then is the feedings, you know, your feedings before and after, and also the actual technique of the running. You guys, I'm talking to Alexandra. She's in Tampa, Florida, where my family is. And we're talking about getting body back after baby. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
This is Channel 154, American Latino Radio.
If you have kids in your life, you need to know about the only multivitamin patented for learning and academic performance to help your kids do their very best in school. Used for over 10 years in public schools, Potential is designed by a doctor to support brain function by nourishing a growing brain with active vitamins, important minerals, and antioxidants from superfoods and berries. Designed to be clean and wholesome, Potential doesn't contain additives, preservatives, artificial colors, flavors, and sugar found in most other kids' vitamins. Being a kid today isn't easy, so give the kids you love every advantage with Potential. To learn more, visit mykidspotential.com and use the special coupon code RADIO, or call 877-877-4566 to order. That's mykidspotential.com or call 877-877-4566. Help your kids do their very best to succeed. Give them potential today.
I am an American Latino, and I have fought for this country since its founding. I sided with Governor de Galvez in support of the revolution against the English to help create this great country, and with Captain Jorge Farragut in the War of 1812 to keep the English from coming back. I fought at the Alamo against the armies of Santa Anna to declare a free Texas, and I knew the pain of brother against brother fighting on both sides of the Civil War. 500,000 American Latinos marched off to World War II as part of the Greatest Generation, and many did not come back. I have soldiered, sailed, and flown to war wherever I've been sent. I'm still fighting in Afghanistan. Since the American Civil War, I have been presented our nation's highest military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor, over 60 times, more than 40 of those times posthumously. I am an American Latino, and I dare you to say otherwise. A message from American Latino Radio, Sirius XM Channel 154 at AmericanLatinoRadio.net. Got a question? Don't be shy. It's your health. Call Tara Marie now. 1-888-411-7242.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. We're sort of at the Tara's tip portion. About 20 minutes ago, we got a caller on the line. woman named Alexandra from Tampa. Very interesting. She actually emailed me and I said, why don't you call the show? Because she's interested in getting her figure back after her second baby. One of her babies is 18 months. Her second baby, she just delivered 5 months ago, both of them C-sections. Okay, so Alexander, so we talked about shoes for running. And again, that place that I'm thinking of, I've been there with my family in Tampa. I think it's in the International Mall, but I want you to go somewhere where they will do a biomechanical analysis of your gait. And they'll look at how you run and they will give you a shoe that supports your feet. And again, running will tend to, and if you do have a problem, it'll show up very quickly. I've had professional orthotics. Like I go to one of the best podiatrists. He's like the City Ballet podiatrist here in New York City. Don't ever be averse to the idea of getting orthotics because, you know, as we age and our bodies shift, things start to shift. And sometimes it does your body good to have proper orthotics, which gives proper biomechanics. Because again, not to get too technical, but this is interesting. The foot is the beginning of what's called a kinetic chain in your body. And if you can imagine it like this, if you don't have proper foot biomechanics, you could hurt your ankle. And then let's move up the leg. You could hurt your knee. And then let's move up the leg. You could hurt your hip. And then let's move up. If you hurt your hip, you're going to throw your pelvis out of whack. If your pelvis is out of whack, now all of a sudden you have low back pain. If your low back is out of whack, it'll travel. Do you understand what I'm saying? So everything starts in the feet. So that's why I never skimp on shoes. Like I don't skimp on things like shoes or orthotics. Those aren't the places you want to save money, okay? And I think you get that. And you can always call back and we can talk about this in greater detail. Now, insofar as the actual running, the first couple of times, because you've never really been a runner, we're just starting this after, you know, delivering two babies. I want you to just go out for 20 minutes and take steady state jogs. And by steady state, what I mean is go out. Are you going to do it in your neighborhood or are you going to go to a park or something?
In my neighborhood.
Okay. So go out. And just for about 3 to 5 minutes, just walk really fast. The reason to do a warm up is to literally physiologically warm your body. You're literally trying to warm your core temperature, to get the blood circulating, to get blood delivering nutrients to all extremities of the body, and to get things just sort of moving. So that'll be 3 to 5 minutes. You're literally physically warming the tissues.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, what's that?
That's a warmer. Do I need to do anything before that? Stretching or just
no. I'm gonna have you stretch afterwards. The time to stretch is when you're already warm. See, what I want you to do is that first 3 to 5 minutes, gentle walking that becomes faster walking that becomes breaking into a jog before we start. Okay, so that's 3 to 5 minutes. Now, for 20 minutes, what I want you to do is find a challenging, albeit doable, steady state pace. Because again, we're just kind of feeling you out. And I'm even going to ask you maybe to call back next week. Actually, if you have time and you would, because we're really literally just starting this, I'm going to ask you to maybe check in with me in a week. Because what I want to do is I want to kind of tweak what we're doing. See, this is what I would do. Like if you were like a real client, I don't just say something and then leave it. You got to always tweak. So the first few times, I want you to just go find a steady state pace that's challenging but doable. By that, I mean you can do it. It's definitely challenging. It's not under, you know, it's not submaximal work, but it's not killing you. Yes, may I understand this? You understand? Okay,
yeah.
Now. After you see how does your body kind of respond to jogging, you know, because if you've never jogged before, you've got to kind of get in the rhythm of it. You know, you want to keep your shoulders straight. You want to keep your head over your shoulders. You want to keep your shoulders over your pelvis, because, again, everything's just a nice kinetic chain starting in the feet. I've seen, and the reason I'm saying this is because I've seen people run with a forward head carriage. Do you know what I mean? A forward, like their head's jutting forward.
Right.
If you run with a forward head carriage, you're putting undue stress on your cervical vertebrae, on your neck. Because, see, the head weighs what like a light bowling ball weighs. For every inch that it's forward out of alignment, it puts undue stress. I think it's 10 pounds of stress on your neck. So, like, if you're jutting your chin forward as you jog, you're going to start to get neck issues from jogging. Do you understand? So that's why these first few times I'm more concerned with form, and then we'll get into function. Okay. So again, head over shoulders, shoulders over hips, hips over knees. You just want everything to be nicely aligned, right? And just get into a steady pace. And I also want to say this, please, when you jog, heel strike first. Have you ever seen somebody jog on his or her toes? It's weird looking, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of freaky deaky. What you want to do, when you jog, you want to roll from heel to toe. You see, the purpose of the big toe, which in my world is called the great toe, the purpose of that big toe is to propel you forward. It's for push off. Did you know that?
I did not. No.
Yeah. If you were in an accident and you lost both of your big toes, it would be very hard to jog because that toe's whole purpose physiologically is to push off. So I want you to heel strike, roll through the foot, and then push off through the toes. Okay.
Okay.
So the first few times, don't even take music, please. The first few times, I want 100% concentration and body awareness. I want you to feel your heel striking, roll through the foot, push off through the great toe. I want you to be aware of your head over the shoulders. I want your shoulders, I just hit the mic. I want you to be aware of your shoulders over your hips. I also, when you run, I want you to contract your abdominals. You always want a consistent low-level contraction in your abdominals. That will maintain this body alignment that I'm telling you to maintain, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now, another question you asked was, as you said, is there any other cardio or workout suggestions for toning the lower body? I'm so glad you asked. Are there stairs anywhere near you where you'll be jogging? I mean, I know Florida's pretty flat. My family lives there, but stairs anywhere?
I can find some. I'm sure there's something around.
Okay, because here's what's fantastic. What I like to do, and I'm not a runner, but I enjoy jogging outside in New York City in the summertime because I love to be out in the park. I live near the Hudson. When I go down into the park, I think it's like 55 stairs that lead down to a staircase into the park. What I do to tone my derriere is at the end of my jog, I'll run up the stairs two at a time, and then I'll just kind of casually jog back down the stairs. And then I'll sprint up the stairs two at a time, and then I'll casually jog back down the stairs. Are you getting my idea?
Yeah.
You getting the drift? And here's the thing. If you really want to activate your glutes, your butt muscles, when you're jogging up the stairs, this is going to sound crazy, but just do what I say because it works. Contract your abdominal muscles and push through the heel of your foot. So you're on the step and you're pushing up to step onto the next step. Push through the heels of your feet. That'll activate your butt more. Do you understand?
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
So as you're jogging, you're going to find some stairs in your neighborhood, maybe in your home, and you're just going to, I don't care if you have to jog up the same 10 stairs and down again, okay? And just fry out those muscles. Because, see, when you climb stairs or when you jog or walk up an incline, you activate the gluteus maximus. The gluteus maximus is that overlying buttocks muscle that gives the butt muscle that nice round shape. So I know you live in Florida. Again, I know Tampa. I don't know of any hilly areas, but it's that incline. If you're running, walking, or jogging up an incline or stairs, you're activating the gluteus maximus muscles. And that's where you get that nice round butt. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me see. You also ask, should I jog with a jogging stroller? I love the idea of a jogging stroller, and here's why. When were you planning on jogging?
First thing in the morning. Well, I guess if I'm going to do the stroller, I'd probably do it early evening.
Okay, because again, in Florida, I've spent a lot of time in Tampa. Right now, it's pretty, the weather's pretty good. You can go do outdoor sports. You're about to come into a time, I don't have to tell you this, where it's going to be intolerable. Like, you're either going to have to go at 6:30 in the morning or after 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, do you have, here's the honest truth. If you were just doing it by yourself without a stroller, you could be way more hardcore. And that's why I like that idea. I do like the option of you having a stroller, though, because maybe three times a week you want to go hardcore by yourself and really like run stairs and just go crazy, do sprint training and things like that. And maybe two times a week, maybe you meet some women in the neighborhood and you guys all want to go out in your jogging strollers and it's almost like a social thing, like a lighter jog. See, with a jogging stroller, you're going to have two little human beings in there. So you're not going to be able to do the kind of sprints I'm going to tell you to do without the babies.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, you can't do that to a baby, like legally. So you know what I mean, right?
Right.
So I like the idea of a jogging stroller. Those will be more casual, steady state jogs. But what one of the things you said was you said, should I do a jogging stroller or just can I use a regular stroller? I would definitely get a jogging stroller. I see a lot of them, Alexandra, here in New York. A lot of women have them. They have different wheels. They're set up differently than regular strollers.
Okay.
They've got wheels. They've got big wheels with thick rubber that can take impact. So the baby's not bouncing around. So it literally makes the impact softer for a baby in the stroller. Okay.
Got it.
Did you have a question about food? Because another thing I want to talk about is specifics of jogging after these first few times. Did you have a question about food?
Yeah, I wanted to know if I were to go first thing in the morning, should I jog on an empty stomach? Should I have a snack before I go? What should I eat when I get back?
Okay, so I've actually done this. When you go first thing in the morning, are you talking like roll out of bed, put on some clothing and go?
Exactly.
Okay, I've done that before. What I do when I do that, if it's literally just a jog, now I need to say this very loud and clear. If you're talking about going to the gym to lift weights, I'm not advocating this. But for a jog, for like a jog or quick sprints where you're literally gone and back in 25 minutes, I like to roll out of bed. I like to drink 16 to 32 ounces of water, room temperature, not cold. It's going to shock your body too much. When I first get out of bed, I always, because I have these big glasses from Crate and Barrel and I know that they're 16 ounces. There's nothing that tastes better first thing in the morning when you're thirsty than fresh, clean water in glass.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to drink 16 to 32 ounces of water and just leave. No food if you're literally just rolling out of bed and going. Now, if you're going to roll out of bed and go an hour later, that's a different story. Do you understand? Because I need you to settle your blood sugar.
Right.
But if you're literally rolling out of bed, 16 to 32 ounces of water and you're out the door.
Now, what if I were going to go an hour later? What would I have?
Okay, so you want something that's going to have fast gastric emptying. Probably what I would do if I were in that position is I would have something small that would steady my blood sugar. Maybe like a couple eggs or even just an egg, a hard boil, you know, an egg, something to steady my blood sugar. Maybe a small handful of almonds, just something to steady my blood sugar. Then I'd go for my run. And then as soon as I came back, I would eat a proper breakfast.
Okay. Now, I see that you're talking about having protein if I were to go an hour after waking up. Is there a difference? Is there a certain protein that's better? Like having 10 grams of animal protein, would that be better than having 10 grams of nuts or cheese?
Well, protein is protein. And the reason I like protein all throughout the day, but especially in the morning, is because it'll stabilize your blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're still nursing, you know, your body is expending 200 to 500 calories a day to make that milk. Do you know what I mean? I mean, nursing is nature's way to lose weight after having a baby. But have you ever had blood sugar fluctuations?
No.
You've never had blood sugar, like where you get kind of nasty because like you're like, I haven't eaten. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean,
okay, so those are blood sugar fluctuations. Those are blood sugar fluctuations. When you're getting the nasties because you haven't eaten, that's really your blood sugar dropping.
Yeah.
Something like that in the morning, you just want to think of having something small that's going to have quick gastric emptying. You could have a whey protein shake. You could have a small handful of organic almonds. Chew your nuts very thoroughly. Always have your nuts raw and unsalted, because raw nuts have enzymes within them that will help you digest them. If you're going to have a couple eggs, just eat plain eggs. Again, you want to kind of mono. It's like mono eating. Have you ever heard of that? I just want quick gastric emptying.
Okay.
And then when you come back, that's when you want to have maybe a little bit more elaborate of a meal. Usually after my workout is when I have more, if I'm going to have grains, maybe I'll have some grains. If I'm going to have a piece of fruit, I'll have a piece of fruit. Things like that. You want to, and also, within the context of a meal. After a workout, you need some of that sugar in your body. Not a lot, but some. Like, one, I always say this all the time. One of my favorite snacks is a Granny Smith apple, which is a very low sugar apple with organic peanut butter.
Okay.
Or a couple rice cakes with some organic almond butter, something like that. Now, mm-hmm. I do want to say one quick word, because if I'm not going to talk to you for a week, after you kind of get in your vibe of running, jogging, and you kind of get a feel for it, what I want you to do is I want you to experiment until we speak again with breaking out into sprints. We're going to do high intensity interval training in sprints. So what you're going to do is once you get your steady state pace, and you have you're all steady Eddie, you're going to sprint for about 30 seconds. Sprint like you're being chased by a car, like you're going to get hit by a car. Sprint for 30 seconds. Literally, like, I'll time it. I'll have my BlackBerry with me and I'll time it on the timer. And then when you're done with that 30 seconds, pull it back down to a steady state pace until you catch your breath again. Catch your breath. You're jogging. As soon as you catch your breath, break out into a sprint. And you're going to do a series of those for the 20, 25 minutes. You're going to go from sprinting to pulling it down to a baseline pace. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So listen to me. We've got to go, but I'm going to email you and you're going to call me back next week and we're going to continue this because there's some other things I'd like to particularly tell you. Would you do that?
Absolutely.
All right. So again, Alexandra from Tampa. Thank you, sweetie. And I will talk to you next week. I will contact you via email. Okay.
Great, Chad. Okay. Thank you so much. We really enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. And say hello to Tampa and my poppies down there. Okay, you guys, this has been a great show. Wow, this was a really lovely show. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow. I've got another really fun show for you tomorrow. Yvette Rios, CBS personality and the host of Recipe Rehab is on with us. Stay tuned. Next, we've got the Bill Santiago show. Bill's going to come on and make you laugh. You guys, go to my website. Go to taramarie.com, taramarie.com. Sign up for my mailing list. It's totally free. Peruse my blog, and I will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless all of you. Bye-bye.